fraud. Sometimes it seems to be as American as apple pie. It's provided the growth fuel for the Justice Department. Its fraud section has added staff and caseload in the last year. Joining me with analysis of the latest fraud section year in review, attorney Kevin Mullendorf with Wiley Rain. Kevin, good to have you on.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thank you.
All right. So I think the big story here for our purposes is that they had not only some landmark cases settled for big dollars in the past year, but also the section itself grew. What did you find?
Well, you know, it was interesting and really sort of surprising to read the report. I just left the fraud section in April, and so was part of all that hiring growth. It was a real push to get the numbers up. I think a 25% headcount growth for a prosecutor's office is pretty astonishing. It was interesting to see that.
And when they get new prosecutors, where do they find people that can step in so quickly in a place? I mean, that's a high pressure operation at Justice.
It is, and it's a different operation than your usual U.S. Attorney's office, where you start people in general crimes. So they tend to take from a couple different groups. One is sort of mid-level law firm associates, third, four, five, six-year associates who have some experience on large white-collar cases. And then they also take experienced AUSAs from various offices and some regulatory people like SEC people like I was that have experience with these cases. Because you're right, you can't just it's hard to just step into a multi-year case with millions of documents.
The reality is associates at the big law firms do so much of the legwork, they probably really know deeply how these cases work.
Well, they're trained in how to handle big document cases, how to do document reviews, and how to respond to subpoenas. And so when you're on the government side and you're issuing those subpoenas and going through those documents, you're getting back in response. It's a useful skill to have.
Now, let's talk about the Volkswagen case for a moment. That seems to be the landmark case of the year. It took several years to get to this point. And what happened there? What was Justice's role in this versus EPA and some of the other agencies?
Well, the fraud section was the lead prosecuting group on the case, along with the Detroit U.S. Attorney's Office. And that's one of the things that the fraud section does quite frequently is partner with local U.S. Attorney's Offices. It was a big point of pride and sort of a push to do that to work with the local U.S. Attorney's offices because you don't know the flavor of the judges and the courts and the landscape without doing that. But like a lot of the cases that the fraud section did, the Volkswagen case was a partnership with EPA and other regulators because they have much like in the cases I do when I work with the SEC. They have the data. They have the on-the-ground resources that have sort of looked at everything on the front end.
And how does the government arrive at what it is a company should pay? In the Volkswagen case, there were some very large fines, but they had also made good economically or financially with the people that had bought the cars in question that had that bad software. So how do you know whether it should be $1 or $1 billion?
Well, it's a negotiation, but in part it's driven by hard facts. I mean, numbers the profits that are made there's a formula that's used in the sentencing guidelines that when you prosecute business entities, it explains kind of how you're going to find them. But it's not supposed to be devoid of reality. It's supposed to be tied to actual numbers.
And when in a U.S. attorney's office do they decide or do they – what's the process by which they decide maybe to not pursue a case? I'm thinking of one at the New York state level that was not federal that was just settled after years and years and years of litigation against Hank Greenberg and AIG where the government had no case. Again, this was New York state, not federal. But do you ever begin a case and say, well, you know what? This one probably – there's nothing there.
Well sure. And that's kind of what my role is now is to try and convince prosecutors' offices that that is the case. But, as a prosecutor, you only want to bring a case that you can where you can, convict someone, where you have evidence that will stand up in court. And oftentimes you investigate a case for a lot of years and it's not there. These are complicated cases, and sometimes that happens. I don't know the specifics of the – I mean, I've read about them, obviously. I don't know the specifics of what happened in that case.
We're speaking with Kevin Mullendorf, an attorney with the law firm Wiley Rein. And I wanted to ask you about the Medicare, Medicaid fraud section that the Justice Department teams with CMS, Health and Human Services, and some other agencies on. That seems to be a pretty good success story, too.
Yeah, it is a real success story. The section has people in, I think, 8 different locations, and now a corporate healthcare task force or section that's going to focus on corporate prosecutions, which is sort of a change. You know, they've typically focused on providers, and it has been, you know, there's a lot of fraud out there, and they've been very successful in that. But the change now to focusing on the corporate healthcare fraud is sort of interesting. It's more along the lines of what the securities fraud unit does in prosecuting corporations, but they're now going to take that sort of that skill and that that approach to cases and prosecute large entities that are involved in healthcare fraud.
So that's the National Medicare Fraud Takedown effort.
Well, it's a little bit different. That the Medicare fraud takedowns are generally the sort of the big, you know, 250 person takedowns of individuals. This is a corporate strike force they've now stood up that was involved in, I think, the most recent prosecution was the Tenet case.
And what is the nature of corporate Medicare, Medicaid fraud versus individual doctors that gin up cases where they don't help anybody?
Well, the focus on the corporate fraud it's different because it's focused on, you know, entities that are institutionally involved in a scheme to cheat the government, for example. You know, it's one thing just to have doctors who are, you know, putting in fake bills with Medicaid. It's something else to have an entity that's sort of on a larger scale, you know, doing things that would defraud the government.
Does that get it into the RICO area, the organized crime type of classification?
You know, I'm not aware of them using RICO to prosecute these. I mean, there's a specific healthcare fraud statute, there's securities and wire fraud statute that can be used to prosecute these cases.
And there's also been something of an uptick in Foreign Corrupt Practices Act.
Yeah, that's been a very hot area lately, and I think the numbers from the 2016 report bear that out. I think there were 17 individual prosecutions and a number of corporate prosecutions in the FCPA sphere. You know, that's been one of the areas that I think there's been a focus on with the new administration and what's going to happen with that. You know, our thought is that core enforcement of that doesn't change. We think that's going to continue to grow, and there's a couple reasons for that. I mean, one, if you look at the entities that have been prosecuted, they're generally foreign entities. So that sort of fits in the new administration's paradigm of, well, we're going to protect American interests. We're going to go after foreign entities. Also, I think, you know, the world has caught up in some ways with U.S. Anti-corruption law. And so there are new anti-corruption laws. And so it makes it less of a disadvantage for American entities operating here.
So there's really a big economic value to that type of work.
Well, I think, you know, the Justice Department feels, and I think it's probably right, that rooting out corruption is good for business generally. I think I think any corporation that you talk to and the people we work with would agree that having a good anti-corruption program in place is important, and it's the right thing to do.
And let me ask you this about the section, and I guess the DOJ prosecutorial function in general, having been there and having looked at it from the outside now, would you say it's a destination type of employer for lawyers interested in this type of work?
Yeah, I think that's probably, I hadn't really thought of it in those terms, but I think that's probably a good way to look at it. I mean, it's a hard place to get a job, and you get to do good work. You know, I spent a lot of time working to help hire the people. I mean, all of us did. And, you know, for every spot there's probably, you know, 500 resumes that come in of very qualified people. It's a good job.
Now, the new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, spent some time in justice a number of years ago and was also a state attorney general. You think that type of experience will help now with the new generation of DOJ people?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's important that he's got a law enforcement background. You know, I think he understands sort of both sides of prosecuting and hopefully he understands, you know, defending what it means to defend these entities and individuals.
Kevin Mullendorf is an attorney with the law firm Wiley Rhine, recently of Justice Department. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Tom.
We'll have a link to his analysis and to the DOJ report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.